The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. There is good news for the world tomorrow, but it's very difficult for you to hear good news in the world today. In recent news reports handed me by the Ambassador College News Bureau, I see only bad news and promise of a lot worse. And it's from the weather, to the threats of a long, hot summer, to the problems of EEC and world trade. And everywhere you look, you find nothing but the prediction of more and more problems and headaches for this world in the future. Is there any real sense and weight and shape and meaning to these times in which you live? Is there any way that you can discover the meaning to these times, to these days? Prophesied long ago, foretold in the pages of your Bible, believe it or not, was the prediction that you would be living in exactly the kind of a world you see about you today. Prophesied centuries ago in pages and books of the Bible that have long been totally ignored by most people are the exact cross-sections of life the way you're seeing it all around you today in these modern countries of ours. And the bad news that you're reading today was all predicted. Every last bit of it and a lot more to come. There are real meanings to these days, and you can only understand the time in which you're living if you understand Bible prophecy. I'm not trying to get you to believe some kind of an argument or a doctrine. I'm not telling you you have to research this or that to prove something so you can agree with me. It doesn't matter to me one whit whether you believe it or not. I'm merely saying what the prophets of God had said continually, that so long as our peoples continue in the same direction as we have been going, so long as we continue to resort to violence, to flagrant disobedience to God and His laws, denial of His existence, all of our agnosticism, our doubting, our skepticism, and even those people who fancy themselves being religious can be the most absolutely belligerent of all when it comes to really obeying God, when it comes to yielding to His laws, when it comes to saying, yes, Lord, and doing exactly what He says. And I mean from the simplest commands Jesus Christ ever gave, such as swear not at all, right down to the observance of the only day He ever made holy. I don't care whether it's observance of the laws, the Ten Commandments of God that Jesus said He came to magnify and make more spiritually binding, which many theologians try to tell you He came to do away with, which is one good one for you to try to swallow, whether it's that to just the casual everyday way of life of the average citizen. So long as our peoples continue to live in the way we're living today, we're going to catch it. And I'm here to tell you exactly how and where it's going to come from, what it's going to look like when it arrives, and just what will really be occurring to our peoples in the future, and tell you from the pages of Bible prophecy. So long as our lusts, our hatreds, our greeds and jealousies continue to inflame us, so long as we continue to depend on foreign allies, on our bought and paid for friends that are not truly friends, and to depend upon our own self-sufficiency, so long as we glut ourselves on our own selfish pastimes and entertainments and ignore the deep, aching moral void within our own hearts and homes, we are headed for trouble. I don't mean just a little bit of trouble. I don't mean that you're going to be hearing of it with your ears from somewhere way off. I mean trouble on your doorstep. I mean trouble in your home. I mean trouble at the place where you buy or raise your groceries. I mean trouble involving the dollar bills or the escudos or the pound sterling or the Australian pounds or the money that is in your pocket. I mean severe and difficult and almost unimaginable trouble. Centuries ago, there were predictions made, and it doesn't matter whether you believe this applies to our peoples nationally, or by color or race or not, because this is a principle that has to do with people, meaning just humankind, between them and their God, relationships between any people and their God. And this is an absolute living, active principle that does work. Centuries ago, God told His people, and that means anybody who will obey Him or who decides not to obey Him, that if they would hark diligently to God's laws. Now, you might think that's just a sort of a theological argument. Let me just take long enough to tell you that the laws of God involve every facet of your life. That there are great, living, warm, comforting, protective principles expounded and explained in the Bible that would show you exactly how to date, how to select a mate, how to marry, how to conduct a marriage, that tell you how to farm, when to plant, what kind of seed not to mix, that tell you the principles about the manufacturing of cloth and clothing, that tell you about inheritances and landmarks and weather, and about crop blight and insect infestation and damage, that tell you all kinds of financial principles. Every great and basic principle that is really necessary as a guideline for life is revealed and given in the pages of the Bible. The Bible is a handbook about how to live. Cities should be organized and built according to principles revealed in the Bible. Agriculture should be conducted according to principles in the Bible. There are great living laws that have to do with the food web of this world in the sea and on the land. And with the avoiding of the polluting of our very environment, the water we drink and the food we eat and the air we breathe, and all that is also revealed in the Bible, but people have ignored it. It's the most ignored book and the most argued over that has ever existed. The printing press was developed to print the Bible. Much of the literature in the Western world is the result of man's first attempts to preserve and to print and distribute the Word of God, and yet how much it is ignored today. Well, centuries ago in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 1, the Greek God whose existence can be proved, and if you don't know that, then write in for these booklets on Does God Exist in the Proof of the Bible. That great God said, If you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Eternal, your God, to observe and to do all His commandments. And those commandments have to do with everything from, as I've said, your crops, to your economy, to your physical health, to your mental stability, to your happiness in your marriage, to the education and the teaching of your children, to the meaning of life, the meaning of death, and the hereafter. The Bible is not just a book about narrow, axe-grinding theological arguments to be used by this or that sectarian creed to argue and to become inflamed in its heated discussions with other sectarian creeds. And it is also not what a lot of so-called higher critics are trying to tell you, a lot of literature, a collection of Jewish literature and poetry. Oh, how sadly some people miss the boat. Oh, you've got an opinion about the Bible. Sure you have, because like most people, you've got an opinion about almost anything, haven't you? We have opinions about almost anything, but have you ever investigated the root cause and the source of your opinions? If you have opinions about the Bible, are they based upon what other men or books by men have said about the Bible? Or is it based upon your own open-minded, warm-hearted research into the Bible itself? Now, if it's not based upon that, then you are not only are not welcome to your opinion, but your opinion is not worth anything. You know, we ought to get back to the old question, whose opinion counts? Because I don't care what about the opinions of men. You don't believe in the majority. No, you don't either, because there are more people under the flag of communism today than there are under the flag of freedom and capitalism and democracy. And therefore, the average citizen, by virtue of living, would have to admit, if he were willing to do so intellectually, that he does not believe the majority is always right. So I don't care whether the majority around you thinks this way or that way about the Bible. Just because the majority around you thinks one way or the other doesn't make it so. And the combined, concerted opinions of all of humankind to the contrary. Let God be true, though every man be found a liar. You look through history and you don't find vast majorities right. You find vast majorities wrong. And you find God Almighty working through a tiny handful. Or in most cases, and that's not of my doing, but of the doing of your God and Creator, you find that God working through one human individual. He saved all of mankind through one man. Noah. He raised up his nation through one man. Moses. He called out a people originally for his name through one man. Abraham. And through that one man's obedience, you're here on this earth today, whether you recognize and believe that or not. and the chances are enjoying the prosperity that you have as a result of it. Now, this great God who does exist said, if any people would diligently hearken unto his voice to observe and do all his commandments, which he said, I command you this day, that the eternal your God will set you on high above all nations on the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you. And then he began to define them. He said, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed in the field, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of the cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, your basket, your store. In other words, the national storehouses would be literally bursting at the seams with grain and produce. He said you'd be blessed in your travels when you go in and come out. Your enemies that rise up before you will be smitten before your face. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. He said, the Eternal shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses in all that you set your hand to do, and he will bless the land. That's if we'll keep his laws, if we will keep his commandments. He said in verse 12, the Eternal shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give you the rain unto your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you will lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. But you know what he said he would do if we didn't observe his laws? Now, do you observe them? Let me just ask you this. Don't come up and give me the old excuse that a lot of people do. Now, who's this guy? A doomsday prophet of doom? Some kind of a sundowner that's getting all angry at us good Americans and British and Australians? Why, we're such good people. We're praying people. We're church-going people. Oh, get off of it. I get almost sick to my stomach when I read the news. It makes me want to almost hide from the news. But I'm not going to do that because I've been commissioned to tell you the meaning of the news in the light of Bible prophecy. The time has passed when we're going to hold our hands up to God in holy wrath and say, who are we that the terrors and the wrath of God Almighty should come down upon our head? That we're good people, we're praying people, we're church-going people. Well, then why do we lead the world in crime? Why do we lead the world in our gluttony and our selfishness? Why are our cities bastions of absolute evil and bestiality? Why are our cities coming apart at the seams? Why are we polluting our very environment? Why are we trembling on the brink of economic collapse? Why is our weather topsy-turvy and upside down? Why do we produce thalidomide babies, deaf babies, dumb babies, blind babies, malformed babies? Why is every fourth marriage in the United States the result of premarital pregnancy? Why is it that 40% of all marriages are between the ages of girls 16 to 19, and that over half of those are pregnant before they get married? Why is venereal disease one of the leading problems among all teenagers today? Why is premarital pregnancy the number one health problem among the girls in the 15 to 19 year age bracket in the United States of America, the land of so-called great morality? Why is it we lead the world in crime? We lead the world in divorce. We lead the world in our preoccupation with violence and sex. Why is it that obscenity, cursing, perversion, bestiality, weird science fiction, mad sounds, jangling noise we call music, pop art, which is nothing but a collection from the city dump nailed onto a placard and called art? Why is it all of this happens, and yet some few people still want to say, oh yes, but it's not all bad? Well, guaranteed there are certain people who still decry the evils they see around them. Certainly there are still many people who want to be good. Oh yes, human nature wants to be thought of as being good. Of course, deep down it doesn't want to do good. So let me get back to that question I asked you before. If you have arguments and reasons why you think, well, these things aren't going to happen to our people, let me ask you this. Do you keep God's Ten Commandments? All of them? Do you keep them with your mind and your spirit? Do you keep them the way Jesus Christ magnified them, where he said, even if a person looks upon another human being to lust, it's the same thing as committing adultery? Well, then, you husbands, do you have a collection of girly books? You go to your Saturday night bar and meet with the buddies? What do you talk about? What do you look at? Our mail shows that one of the biggest problems that wives write in about is unfaithful husbands today. You know why they're being led astray? Well, it's a prediction that God said in the Bible. It'd be like so many fed horses in the stall. kicking and neighing after their neighbor's wife. Your Bible predicted that our peoples would be caught up into such a vortex of licentiousness, of immorality, a preoccupation with sex and perversion, and dope addiction and crime, that you would hardly find any one home that you could call really stable and decent anymore today. And there's far more of it than people like to admit. You hear of a few sensationalized cases, maybe you creep over there to take a look at where it happened yourself. It's incredible. And really, the extent of it that is actually going on and the extent of it that's reported and talked about are two totally different things. And it's time somebody began to say so, because that's what's happening today. You wives, your husband's getting a little hard to handle nowadays? They a little curt, a little cold? There's a reason. You better be finding out what that reason is. So our women's magazines try to sell our women all kinds of stuff to keep them from smelling bad. And the upshot of the whole thing is to make Mrs. USA, Mrs. Australia, Mrs. Britain, at age 45, some kind of a sex symbol when she should be a stable, solid mother with the rearing of her teenage children foremost in her mind, serving and being a help to her husband. But instead, she's out working in the civil community, trying to get her picture smiling in the papers. She's at this or that bridge club or charity meeting or something else. All the while, the threats of mass riots are going on in her own community, and she seems absolutely helpless to do anything about it. Well, let me give you a quick picture of what Bible prophecy says is going to happen. God said it shall come to pass, verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God to observe to do all his commandments, and we're not doing them. Do you keep the Ten Commandments, I asked? Well, what about the fourth one? It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you do that? Most people don't even know which day that is. Now, any calendar would tell you, and the Bible tells you quite plainly, that most people don't think they can believe the Bible. They say, yes, but all these churches can't be wrong. Oh? Can all these churches be right? Well, if that's true, then that doesn't make sense, does it? Because if any one of them is, then all the rest aren't. Isn't that right? Because they all differ, don't they? Sometimes in quite broad areas. So don't say, well, certainly all these good church-going Christian people can't be wrong. My friends, your Bible says in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, all nations shall be deceived. Jesus Christ talked about vast majorities being deceived and tiny minorities having a little bit of the truth of God. He described his people as a little flock. He didn't talk about vast majorities of this earth being Christian. He talked about a time when, as the very world seemed to enter a vortex of climactic chaos and crime, the love of many would wax cold. A time of unusual race violence and religious persecution, with the weather putting on a fantastic display, economic collapse, wars and rumors of wars, drought, pestilence, famine, earthquakes in diverse places, people going insane because of the calamitous chaos around them. That's what the Bible foretold. Not a marching on the new horizons of vast majorities of hymn-singing Christians, but a time of the dissolution of morality, a time of a falling away from original truth, a time of a trampling underfoot of everything that smacks of real stability and of law. And so God said, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. He said, cursed shall you be in the city, and we are. Cursed shall you be in the field, and we are. Well, let's break that down. I have before me some things that are almost unbelievable. God Almighty said we would be cursed in the cities. All right, so recently some of the mayors of the big cities met together with Vice President Humphrey. This is in the United States, not Sydney, but Sydney's bad enough. Some of the violence you read about in Sydney, Australia, and Melbourne, places that you would think, well, certainly, people with less than 11 million population in a great big land like that down under, with all of their love of sports and the bright out of doors, well, certainly the Australian people wouldn't have that kind of an example. Some of the most bestial examples I've ever heard have come from Australia. I say some of the most because the most seem to come from the United States. But is anybody more to blame than anybody else? It was Henry Hill riding on a bus in Sydney who was set aflame by gasoline and then a match thrown on him by some teenagers who just wanted to burn the poor man to death while he slept for the fun of it. So the mayors of the big cities in the United States have asked the vice president, to see if he couldn't scrape together a measly $35 million or so in federal funds. And they mean right now. They mean this month. They mean right now. They say June or July is too late. They mean right now. So we can cool off a long, hot summer. You know what that means? That means, look, if you'll give enough of these people a big enough bribe, if you will give them money to play with, if you will give them enough playthings and enough pastimes, then maybe they won't be out burning your homes and your cities this summer. Maybe they'll be so interested in spending their governmental grant or squandering it on new entertainments and pleasures, they'll forget to vent their wrath against your homes and your businesses. Isn't that fantastic? The Bible said, cursed shall you be in the city. And back in Ezekiel, the 7th chapter in verse 23, Ezekiel said, the land is full of crimes and the city is full of violence. And the minute you hear about it, the press promptly publicizes it. So, racial conflicts that made it a so-called long, hot summer last year for more than one city, plenty of them, are now being predicted to be bigger than ever this summer. And, of course, plenty of people are going to be sitting around, well, what do you know, they're predicting in the press we're going to have a riot here. Well, let me be there when it happens, because that's the attitude of a lot of people. Have you heard what's been said recently? Well, Dr. Martin Luther King has warned that on April 16th, he warned that at least 10 cities are powder kegs. So, conveniently, he even named the cities. So, I suppose plenty of people in those cities listen to that. I'm not going to name them again. Jackie Robinson, the first Negro to play baseball in the major leagues, warned that rioting this year is likely to move out of the Negro neighborhoods, and he began to put it in their words, and he said how a lot of them are said they're going to move into the other neighborhoods and wreck them for a change. And that promptly got nationwide publication. So, of course, many people are going to be eager to comply. You won't believe some of the statements. Stokely Carmichael said recently that Negroes are not bound to obey laws legislated by white people. He said, too unprintable with the laws of the United States and in flagrant profanity openly foments rebellion against federal law. Absolute treasonous statements against an existing government, fomenting rebellion, fomenting uprisings and riots. He was talking to a Negro college, an educational institution, in a speech. And he said, and I quote his words, if a white man tries to walk over you, kill him. End of quotation. Another quote from the same man. He said, one match and you can retaliate. Burn, baby, burn. Unbelievable, isn't it? He said, as long as there is no peace for Negroes, why, we're going to tear the cities up. He was invited to speak there by the sophomore class. You know, our big cities are developing a kind of a summer rioting psychosis, a kind of a psychology. They claim now you can feel it coming on. Oh, that's a lot of ridiculousness. You don't feel something like that. But as we descend into more and more immorality, and as our sloppy grist mill of evil pornography continues to pour out tons of literature of either stark naked or scantily clad women for all your teenagers to view, and as some of the most successful magazines today on the newsstands are dealing almost entirely with pornography, as our entertainment continues to hold out for people the idea of the kick and the thrill and the get yours while the getting is good, to poke at yourself whatever form of temporal pleasure satisfies your five senses, so long as we continue with our mounting crime and our preoccupation with our own selfish lusts and vanities, our cities are going to be filled with curses and crime and problems. Now they're warning that our big cities are virtually falling apart at the seams, and that what is happening in our big cities and urban areas today in the United States may mean virtually the destruction of what we call Western civilization. I'm not kidding you, my friends. These are true factors. These things are happening to us. It was predicted. Now, the focal point of all prophecy is Matthew 24. And in that prophecy of Matthew 24, Jesus said you would be living in a time of wars and rumors of wars, of drought, of famine, of earthquakes. Now, here's a time when
with completely upside down and unbelievable weather, while the Dakotas in a freezing blizzard condition, and meanwhile, the government has said, incidentally, that they want all farmers to increase wheat production by 31% this year. Where? Where are they going to do that? On what land? Where are they going to buy it? I happen to know county by county and section by section what's going on in the United States, and my mail tells me that when farmers go out to try to see if they're going to put more acreage into crop production, they don't have any such acreage. And they go out to try to buy it or lease it or rent it, and they can't find it because it isn't available. And incidentally, how's the government going to guarantee good weather? So they want 31% more crop increase in this year? Why? Well, because, you see, as I was warning on the World Tomorrow program years ago, we were sending every other bushel of our wheat to India. How long did it last? Part of 1 year. 50% of it was destroyed by insects, by improper storage, and by rodents. Amos said, I have given you cleanness of teeth in your cities and want of bread. And he said it was going to rain in one place and dry up in another. And so what's happening? The Dakotas, Iowa, southern Illinois, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, state after state after state in the midwestern areas of the United States. Terrible, unseasonable, long spring with freezing blizzard conditions and downpours of deluges beating crops to the ground. Meanwhile, in Florida, normally one of the wettest states of the nation, people were praying for rain because they'd gone through one of the longest springtime droughts in memory. 7 straight weeks without a drop. Why? Why is it all happening to us? We like to figure the angles. We like to say we've got an excuse. We've got some kind of a reason. It's probably just a bad cycle. All will be over with real quickly. No, it's not going to be, my friends. Jeremiah was warned, don't pray for this people, that I will not send these punishments upon them. It's about time you became attuned to the voice of history. It's about time you understood the great moment of these times. It's about time you began to seek your God and proved his existence and found his purpose in your life. And it's about time you began to realize these great national punishments are coming upon us not as some great outside miracle that God is just manipulating to bring it upon us because we're innocent. These are things that we are doing to ourselves, but the Bible predicted we would do it. We're doing it to ourselves. We're even meddling in our own weather today. You ought to read the article in a magazine. Well, I don't know if you could if you didn't live in the state of Texas. This is from the Texas Farmer and Stockman for May of 1967. The article, Will We Starve? Or the article that I've mentioned in the Hugh Moore Fund booklet that was the subject of a single full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal. Famine stalks the earth. I'll tell you, it's enough to stand your hair on end. Well, it's about time you realized it's true and got rid of your arguments and your ideas, and I'm trying to grind some kind of an axe to get you to accept some kind of a doctrine through fear. I'm not at all. I'm just warning you that there is good news way on beyond, but not before some of the wildest, unimagined chaos in your weirdest nightmare occurs. And if you want to understand the whole thing and the pattern of it and what to do for you and your family, then write for this booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. And also the booklet 1975 in Prophecy, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Free of charge and no cost. And also the Plain Truth Magazine, and don't miss a single one of these broadcasts. Now the booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, is absolutely free of charge. So is the booklet 1975 in Prophecy. And we have one on the subject of earthquakes and what the Bible says. Write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station, the address again in a moment. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.